Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, May 24, 2016. Staff at South Sudanese universities declare a nationwide strike.
Public universities in South Sudan do hereby declare that they have resolved to go for an open strike with effect from 25th May 2016 until the Ministry of Finance settle all our 3 months' salaries and allowances of medical coverage.
And Human Rights Watch releases a report accusing the South Sudan Army of committing repeated atrocities in Wau.
We have these untrained soldiers who arrest large numbers of men of a different ethnicity and accusing them of being rebels, you know, detaining them unlawfully and subjecting them to beatings and torture.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Professors and lecturers in South Sudan's 5 public universities are threatening to go on strike tomorrow unless the government pays salaries for the past 3 months and other benefits for the past year. South Sudan's Undersecretary of Higher Education says his ministry is aware of the university employees' demands, but the government is too broke to clear the arrears. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Representatives of South Sudan's 5 public universities called a news conference in Juba today to announce their planned strike. Philip Finis Apollo, spokesman for the South Sudan Public Universities Staff Association, read a statement on behalf of his colleagues.
The General Assemblies of the public universities in South Sudan do hereby declare that they have resolved to go for an open strike with effect from 25th May 2016 until the Ministry of Finance settle all our 3 months' salaries and allowances of medical coverage and annual air tickets and inclusion of higher education employees in the new salary adjustment.
Apollo, who is also acting president of the University of Juba Academic Staff Association, says university employees decided to call a strike during a recent meeting regarding South Sudan's 5 public universities, the University of Juba, Upper Nile University, the University of Bar El Ghazal, Rumbek, and Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology. Apollo says all the lecturers of the 5 universities are demanding their unpaid salaries for 3 months, which total nearly 28 million South Sudanese pounds, including medical and air ticket allowances. Apollo says the professors and lecturers will stay at home until the government meets their demands.
Teaching, of course, is going to be affected. No going in the classes. And then things related to doing research, supervising students. Of course, these are all the activities academic staff used to do. And of course, all these things are going to be suspended.
Unless the government responds to the university employees' demands within 24 hours following the announcement, Apollo says the strike begins tomorrow. Bol Deng, Undersecretary of the Ministry of Higher Education, says his ministry has done what it can to address university lecturers' demands. He says ministry officials have forwarded their complaints to the finance ministry, which can get the ball rolling.
The Ministry of Finance has only one answer, is to pay the lecturers. When there is a strike like this, committees are formed and they sit down, they discuss, and then they reach middle way solution. Because the ministry may not afford to pay all the claims, but at least then when they sit down together, they may reach a solution.
Swara Eli Martin is a first-year student at the Department of Rural Development at the University of Juba. He says the government needs to address the lecturers' demands.
I am very, very sorry for the message, for the strikes that will take place maybe by tomorrow or today. And I am urging government sincerely to remember the lecturers, because education is a key in our life. When we are not educated, it means there is no prosperity in our nation. Because when they have not been paid, it will be difficult for them even to come and give lectures.
Nyada Paul has finished her studies at the College of Law at the University of Juba and will be graduating on Thursday. She says she is not happy with the professors' and lecturers' decision to strike.
It is not the right time. It is not the right, a good time for them to strike because of education. Most of the people now will be left like that. Most of the people will lose hope in education. Most of people will start looking for other alternatives rather than being educated. So I don't think it is a good step for the lecturers to take, to go on strikes.
Talk of a strike comes just as students who completed their studies at the University of Juba are preparing to graduate this week at a ceremony to be presided over by President Salva Kiir. For VOA News, Emwake Simon Wodoy in Juba.
The Episcopal Church of Sudan and South Sudan is opening a college in Wau to provide skills training for young South Sudanese in a bid to lower the country's high rate of unemployment among youth. Authorities said St. John's College will be affiliated with St. John University, which was established recently by the Episcopal Church of Sudan and South Sudan. The new college will train both primary and secondary school teachers and offer business management courses. Dimo Silva Aurelio has this report for VOA from Wau.
Church leaders say St. John's College of Theology and Development, which opened in Wau on Monday, will help develop young South Sudanese into creative, business-oriented citizens who should be able to create jobs rather than look for jobs. Episcopal Church Diocesan Bishop of Wau, Right Reverend Moses Dengbol, says now is the time to educate South Sudanese youth since the country's leaders have finally restored peace in most parts of the country.
We were motivated by the fact that in Wau here, you will find almost 90% of people who are doing business are from other countries. All we are doing as South Sudanese is useless fighting. That is not going to take us anywhere. And we have left the business opportunities to be taken over by other people. And they are there. I am sure by the time, even before you graduate from St. John's, you will see a lot of money here in town.
Bishop Deng believes the new college will transform South Sudanese youth into citizens who will live together in peace despite their ethnic and cultural diversity.
We believe that we are training good Christian men and women who are going to transform the South Sudanese society from a tribal society to being a united, loving, and now hard-working community. Not playing dominoes under the tree and cousins.
Nearly 30 students have enrolled for various courses at the new college. Many students say they are eager to learn new skills but worry about the legal status of the new college. Gabriel Dahl is a new student. He says he is glad to join the new institution but wants to make sure it is properly registered and accredited by South Sudan's Higher Education Ministry in Juba.
If this college is going to operate, and if it is legally registered, people have interest. Like me, I was in Nation of Africa Orphan University. I spent 2 years there, and at the end it was closed down. So I also fear if such things is going to happen, then it will discourage this young nation.
Michael Manuit is another student who says he feels lucky to have managed to secure a study opportunity after several failed attempts to get admitted to South Sudan's public universities.
In the last 3 years, I've been applying for the public university, but I was not admitted. I make an alternative for this new university or college so that I have to have my certificate.
Bishop Deng insists the institution is registered, accredited, and affiliated to a university run by the Episcopal Church of Sudan and South Sudan and has got a base in Juba.
St. John's College of Theology and Development is part of what we call now Episcopal University. That is a university of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan and Sudan, based in Juba, and that university is now registered with the Ministry of Higher Education of the Republic of South Sudan. It is registered as one university, but with the different colleges in different locations in part of South Sudan.
Bishop Deng says the Episcopal Church wants to help South Sudan's young people take courses that provide them with skills that will empower them to help solve some of South Sudan's toughest problems, including the high unemployment rate among the youth. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
Still in WoW, a new report by the New York-based Human Rights Watch is accusing government soldiers in South Sudan of carrying out deadly attacks and human rights abuses in WoW. The rights group says the peace deal signed in August and the subsequent formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity have not reduced the prevalence of violence. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
HRW says the violence has forced thousands of people to leave their homes to find safety. Jahan Henry, a senior researcher at the Human Rights Watch Africa Division, says in large part those people are trying to escape government soldiers who are committing rapes, killings, and unlawful detentions in WoW and Western Bahr al-Ghazal. She says government soldiers have also arrested people they suspect of being rebels.
In addition to those targeted detentions, we also found that the soldiers who have been stationed in and around WoW town have engaged in various crimes against people in WoW. And so some of the details that we put in the report describe how soldiers killed civilians point blank in different parts of town. And there have been many reports provided to us of rapes being carried out and looting, theft, and murders.
The report says soldiers committing these documented human rights violations in the western region of the country are under the command of Paul Malong, the Chief of General Staff, as well as Lieutenant General Jok Riak and Major General Atayib Gatluak Tai Tai. HRW says the new soldiers in WoW were drawn from the SPLA Division 3 headquartered in northern Bahr al-Ghazal and commanded by Major General Santino Deng Wol. Both Deng Wol and Jok Riak were sanctioned by the UN Security Council in July last year for expanding or extending the conflict in South Sudan. Henry says these two men should not hold positions of power within the army.
What we pointed out with this report and why we named them is that these individuals were clearly within the relevant chain of command for this area and for these abuses. And they had knowledge of what was going on because the SPLA was informed many, many times by the governor and other local authorities. And there was even a presidential commission of inquiry that went out to WoW and collected all of these cases and then brought them back. And we don't know if, you know, the president apparently has not acted on this information.
HRW says soldiers have also unlawfully detained scores of people in western Bahr al-Ghazal. It says men were detained for up to 5 months without charge or access to legal assistance in two facilities, one of them within WoW's main military barrack. Henry says the fighting in the western part of South Sudan has taken on some ethnic dimensions.
It is easily ethnicized because these particular soldiers were brought in, you know, from one part of the country, and they evidently were not properly trained. It really points to the lack of professionalism in the army and the need for the army to take stock of this and to do something with the information when they receive these reports, which is to say that they should be removing the abuse of soldiers and holding them to account for this.
Henry points out that South Sudan's SPLA Act of 2009 says the Chief of General Staff of the Army bears responsibility of the development and operational plans, including the development of forces and command of SPLA on behalf of the Commander-in-Chief. SPLA spokesman Luol Rai could not be reached for comment despite repeated calls. The SPLA Director of Information and Public Relations, General Malaka Yuen, said he had not seen the report and was not able to comment. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
Gift Friday contributed to this report from Juba. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a closer look at mental illness in South Sudan. That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what does peace mean to you?
Peace, I can describe it in different ways. Peace means absence of instability. There is no war. There is no injustice. When I live in a very conducive place, I have a good shelter, I have freedom to do everything that I think I have to do as a citizen in that particular country.
Peace Well, I think it's when you're at your happiest and you just feel happy, nothing but joy. That's peace to me.
Well, peace is just like everybody should be allowed to stay without harm, harassment, for whatever reason, the economical, political, all these wars, all these religious blackmails, all these people trying to impose their ideology on you, you know.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus. In our Tuesday's health segment today and the next few weeks, we will take a look at mental health care in South Sudan. We will also look at the stigma attached to having mental illness, human rights concerns, and access to health care facilities in South Sudan. As INBO reports, patients with mental illness are not the only people who are ashamed. One prominent psychiatrist says she has also been unfairly targeted by people who don't understand mental illness.
Dr. Atunga Yualongara Cole says limited education on mental health care, combined with little to no access to mental health facilities for most South Sudanese, only magnifies the stigma of being mentally ill. Dr. Ayuel, the director of mental health at Juba Teaching Hospital, and one of only a few professional psychiatrists working in the country, says those suffering from mental health issues are not the only ones facing stereotypes in South Sudan.
The stigma is now even reaching the professionals. It's very hard to have a friend when you are a psychiatrist. It's like, you know her, so you have psychiatric problem. So people start stepping aside from you.
Ayuel says national and international organizations in South Sudan have traditionally put more emphasis and resources to fight physical illnesses like malaria, cholera, and HIV, largely leaving mental illnesses on the sidelines. Dr. Ayuel says people in her community call her unflattering names like Akima Mul and Dinka, or in Arabic, some refer to her as Dr. Majanin.
Or when we translate it in English, it's the doctor for the mad people. So all the time it's about me trying to address things. People, I'm not the doctor for the mad people. There's nothing called mad people. They are sick. So it never works. They know me all around that I'm the doctor for the mad people.
But Ayuel says it doesn't matter what language they use because the stigma attached to mental health is universal. She says she is met by blank stares and dismissive people when she insists that there is no such thing as a mad person. And she has very few friends because many people don't want to be seen with her in fear of being guilty by association. Ayuel says the stigma surrounding mental health is in part responsible for preventing many people from getting the care they need. She says many prefer to look for non-scientific explanations for their condition.
So we do have a big problem of naming somebody that he's having a mental illness. That's actually what contributed to the patients not to be brought to the hospital because they don't want to be named that they are already mentally ill. They prefer to be said that they had been wished, they had been have a magic deed, evil hosting, you know, those cultural explanations that they're looking after. So they don't came to the hospital because of the stigma.
Ayuel says educating communities could go a long way toward curbing misconceptions about mental illnesses and eventually eliminating the stigma. She says the stigma is so influential in some cases that it discourages potential medical students from pursuing an education and career in mental health. Ayuel says this phenomenon has contributed to the lack of access in psychiatric care in South Sudan.
What I know about psychiatry, it's not that type of an attractive specialization because we do have good numbers of medical professionals, which is the medical officers, but they are not that attracted to psychiatry, partly because of the stigma that I told you before, that any psychiatrist will end up as a mad person.
Ayuel says the Ministry of Health in South Sudan is working on a long-term plan to establish more resources for the country that will set national protocols and map the types of illnesses and scope of the issue. Next week, we'll take a closer look at the access to psychiatric care in South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Ayen Bior in Washington.
The SPLM in opposition say they plan to register their own political party very soon. Officials of the group led by First Vice President Riek Machar is accusing the ruling SPLM party of not implementing the Arusha agreement aimed at reunifying the party torn apart by the conflict that broke out in December 2013. An official allied to President Salva Kiir says the SPLM in opposition is free to leave the ruling party. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu has details on that story.
SPLM in opposition spokesman William Ezekiel says his group wants to form a new party because it is frustrated by the ruling party's reluctance to implement the Arusha reunification agreement.
There is work going on at the level of political bureau. This thing will also be discussed at the level of National Liberation Council and meanwhile also at the level of convention.
The Arusha reunification agreement, brokered by Tanzania's ruling party, Chama cha Mapinduzi, was signed in January 2015. The deal was meant to reunite the three factions of SPLM, the SPLM in government under President Salva Kiir, the SPLM in opposition under Riek Machar, and the SPLM former detainees under Pagan Amum. But Ezekiel says the SPLM faction allied to President Salva Kiir violated the agreement in January this year when it conducted an extraordinary convention that unilaterally passed the policies of the party without involving the SPLM in opposition. Ezekiel says by holding a convention, the SPLM under President Kiir had suspended the implementation of the Arusha agreement, even though some members of the SPLM IO, including the group's former chief negotiator, Taban Dengai, attended the meeting. Ezekiel did not provide details of the preparations SPLM IO officials have undertaken ahead of the launch of their new party.
No, we are just making consultation. We are making further consultation. We want to see to it that when we come up with a party, okay, we come up with a very strong party.
Some members of the SPLM IO have also indicated in posts on social media that their group intends to form a new political party. Paul Akol-Kordit, a member of the SPLM political bureau allied to President Salva Kiir, says it is up to the SPLM IO members to either remain as part of the ruling SPLM party or peacefully form a separate political party.
This is normal. It is part of freedom of expression, freedom of association, freedom of organization, that you can choose to be what you want to be. And on that note, therefore, it should not be a problem at all. If at all, the SPLM IO or some members of the SPLM IO feel that they need not to return to the SPLM, that they would like to establish their own political party, that will also be welcome, and it has to be an amicable disengagement.
Akol dismissed the allegations by the SPLM IO that Mr. Kiir has suspended the implementation of the Arusha reunification agreement. Ezekiel says the SPLM IO still respects the Arusha reunification agreement. Top leaders of the SPLM IO split from the ruling party in late 2013 after disagreement among the top members of the ruling party and formed an armed rebellion against the Kiir administration. A peace deal mediated by the Regional Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, resulted in the recent formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity, bringing together the different factions of the party as well as other political parties. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
A vigilante group in Budwe State which has pledged alliance to the SPLA in opposition is denying accusations made by the South Sudan government that the group attacked and looted civilians in Lirongu, Payam, and parts of Ezo County last week. Gift Friday has more for VOA from Juba.
Yambia Mayor Daniel Badagu says the Ero boys are responsible for acts of violence in the areas under the control of the vigilante group outside Yambio town.
A few weeks back, we had a report of some of these people trying to come to the roadside and also trying to, stop some civilians to get something from them. The incident happening there is at times, hunger happens.
But Abu says there has been no reports of any fighting between the Ero boys and the government soldiers in recent weeks. But he says Budwe State and Yambi Municipality officials are concerned about continuous cases of looting and robbery. But a spokesman for the Ero boys, who only identifies himself as Commander Paul, denies the allegations.
There are some people who organize themselves to get a chance of us being in the bush and they do their criminal activities. This is the chance they get to rob their things and to damage the image of our site.
Paul says the Ero boys in Lirongo Payam are not trying to destroy the area. He says the vigilante group lives in harmony with the villagers in the areas it controls. He insists The SPLA-IO has instructed the group not to engage in hostile activities or commit criminal acts.
Our forces is administered. All of them are administered under the administration of Putio. We have to implement the peace agreement that was signed in Addis Ababa because we lie under IO. But there's no hostility, there is no criminality, and there is no even blocking the road. We diverted our force. They are all administered in their location.
Badagbo, who is a member of Budwe State Government, at talks which led to the signed peace deal with another armed group called the South Sudan National Liberation Movement, is calling on the Aero Boys to give up their rebellion and return to their villages, since there is no cantonment area for SPLA-IO forces in Budwe State. He says the state is ready to receive any youth who voluntarily surrender.
So the youth should come back. As government, our hands are open for them to welcome them home. When they come home now, we shall have programs for them, like vocational training, giving to them, support them, psychosocial support, and also if those who want to join the SSLA, they need to join them there, and this arrangement can be done so that we can have total peace in this area and stability comes to Budwe State.
Last month, another vigilante group that calls itself SSNLM signed a peace agreement with the government. The deal was brokered by the Faith-Based Council of Peace in the state. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. A new report by Human Rights Watch accuses South Sudanese government soldiers of killing, raping, and looting unarmed civilians in the western part of the country. The report says the crimes have continued right up through last month. HRW says the peace deal and the subsequent formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity have not curbed the prevalence of violence in the country. SPLM and opposition officials say they plan to launch their own political party soon. Officials of the group, led by First Vice President Riek Machar, accuse the ruling party of not implementing the Arusha deal. An official aligned with President Kiir says the SPLM-IO are free to leave the party if that's what they want to do. And finally, professors and lecturers in South Sudan's five public universities are threatening to go on strike tomorrow unless the government pays back salaries for the past 3 months and other benefits for the past year. South Sudan's Undersecretary for Higher Education says his ministry is aware of the university employee demands, but doesn't have the money to pay the professors from the finance ministry. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Public Enemy by Ras Corby.
The King of Israel seen most high Jah Rastafari, and you don't know any time righteousness and consciousness come forward. The people always want to kill it down seen. Bless the most high, original rascal, the life and director of Sudan is liberated. Yeah, watch it.
You call me a public enemy because I'm fighting my enemy. Public. Japanese or Chinese, I'm proud to be a Southern Sudanese. They call me a public enemy because I'm fighting my enemy. Public enemy because I'm fighting my enemy. Say, anytime I wanna talk about my people's rights, they call me a warrior. Anytime I wanna talk about equal rights and justice, they call me a criminal. Don't forget before you make your judgment. Don't forget about the past and the present before you make your judgment.
We have been listening to Ras Corby with the song Public Enemy. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and cars. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.